Some of you, it'll take a little time to find that. It is in the Old Testament, and it's not in the Minor Prophets, it's in the Major Prophets. The book of Ezra. You go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. That'll be right where it is, all right? You all found it? Everybody found it? If you found it, let's stand together. Those who are going to discipleship, you are dismissed. And again, we thank you for being here tonight. And let's read right into verse number 5. We'll read down verses 5 through 10 of this great chapter. Starting with verse number 5, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Thank you, and you may be seated. All of us have been there. I know you have. Just like you've been there. You get up on Sunday morning, and you're ready for church, but as you get up, you know, you want to make sure that your heart's ready, so you read your Bible, you start reading your Bible anyway, and you make a real good attempt at it, and then the dog starts barking, so you have to let the dog out. And then when you get the dog out, then on the way, maybe while you're letting the dog out, you hear your kids cry, or you hear something that distracts you, and then maybe the paper comes, and you go out, and you have to grab the paper because it's raining, and so you get the paper, and then by the time you get the paper, then all of a sudden, oh, I forgot to take something out for dinner, so I got to get that out. And, you know, and then you have all kinds of things, all kinds of, seems like, interruptions. And then when you sit down and read, you start thinking about all the other things. And then here's what happens. You said, well, you know, I just don't know if I could do that. And so I just don't know if I can get much reading done. And so then you decide to just go ahead and get in the car and you know, get ready to get in the car and take off. And on your way in, maybe, you know, the kids are having their spats, or maybe things aren't going real well in the car. And then you get there and the kids start acting up even worse. And before you know it, you know, your morning is just now spent trying to get to where you want to get, but you seem to get nowhere. Anyone ever had an experience like that? Anyone like that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but we've had those at our place. You know, I remember one time we were having a revival meeting, and we brought in a guest speaker, and it was a special meeting, and Nathan was just a little fella. He was probably about 8 or 9 months old, and I'll never forget, we were loaded up, and we were good to go, and, you know, and we always try to get here as early as we can, and we want to make sure we had everything good and set. And so we got up the car, we got in the car, and the speaker got in the car, and Nathan just threw up all over everybody and everything. And it was such a blessing, you know. And you guys ever had anything like that ever happen? Anyone ever had anything like that ever happen? Well, what could have helped? Well, I would suggest that really what could have helped was maybe better preparation. Could have helped. Maybe not on the throwing up, because, you know, that's not something you can kind of program. But we notice here that, biblically speaking, we learn a lesson about spiritual victory. How do we have spiritual victory in our life? How are we able to be able to do all that God wants us to do. You know, we come to church and we hear messages about, you know, all the different things that we should be doing, and, you know, about reading our Bible and praying and you know, being a soul winner and be a tither and come to church and be faithful to those things and do all that kind of stuff. And we probably wonder, how in the world can we do all that? Well, preparation's the key. Ezra had been a captive with the rest of the nation of Israel, and now they were returning back to the homeland. They had traveled some 800 or 900 miles back from Babylon to Jerusalem. It took 4 months. We read that in the account. The year was 458 B.C. The time of the year was late March, early April. And they were traveling back, and the Bible said that Ezra was a scribe. Now, a scribe is a man who is the transcriber of the law. He was one that he would write or copy and communicate the law. So he was a man that knew the Bible very well. He was a man that wrote it. I'll tell you, if you want to learn the Bible, you write it. You sit down and start writing it. That'll teach you the Bible. If you struggle with learning it, sit down and start writing it out. Write out some Bible verses. I remember that when I was in school, we had we had all these Bible tests, you know, they weren't any fill in the blanks. What it was is from memory. And I can remember one of the ways I memorized is I wrote it down and I counted the words. So I knew that for example, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 had, you know, 71 words or whatever, you know. I had it all down. I knew exactly what it was, you know. And I knew if I counted 69, I had two missing. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I knew the Word of God. Doctrine's class every week, we had verses test on Friday, and so we had to know all these. And you know, and the Bible makes it very clear that here was a man, the scribe, who was prepared. And I want you to notice something in verse number 10. Would you go back and look at it with me, please? The Bible said that Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra prepared his heart. You see, on Sunday morning, I think there should be a heart preparation. Now, we all have those physical challenges that come. You know, it seemed like at our house, there was always the guy that stole the socks with our kids. We never could find one of the kids' socks. Anyone ever had an experience like that? If you had kids, I'm sure you've... And it seems like it's always on Sunday morning. Or the shoe. Who knows where the shoe is? You know, we don't have any idea what happened to the shoes, you know. And then my wife asked, "What happened? Did you take the shoes?" "Oh, yeah, I did. I hid it in a closet so we would be late for church," right? But the truth of the matter is, we make preparations. I will tell you this. If you don't make preparation on Saturday night, you're going to be challenged to make preparation on Sunday morning. If you don't put God first on Saturday night, He'll not be first on Sunday morning. Preparation starts very soon, very early. And preparing your heart and getting your heart ready to come to church and getting your heart ready for God to work, that's what the Bible said. He prepared his heart. And that's what is important for us to learn tonight. That means that he dedicated himself. He disciplined himself that he would accomplish with great determination whatever God had called him to do. Now, this is not unusual in the Scriptures. We find this in two other places. For example, we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 3, when God had spoken through Jehu to rebuke Jehoshaphat for his sin. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." God says it's a good thing when you prepare your heart to seek him. And then over in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, when God outlines through the reign of Hezekiah how that we are to observe the Passover, how that the nation of Israel was to observe the Passover, he says this, "that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers." What is he talking about? Preparing our hearts. I hope tonight when you came here that your heart is prepared. Prayer is a preparation of the heart. As we sing the songs, it's a preparation of the heart. I know myself, for me to just kind of step up here without having music sung and just, a little bit of time just, loving on the people and telling, and just talking to you and giving some announcements and kind of rallying us together and kind of breaking down a little bit of that influence we've had from outside and kind of bring us all into focus here. Without having that, it would be hard for me to just stand up here and start preaching. I need that preparation, and you do too. All of us need this important preparation. But I learn in verse number 10 that he talks about this preparation that will involve three commitments. This is what I want us to look at in this preparation. How prepared are you? And if you have prepared your heart, notice what he prepared his heart to do. Write this one down. Number one, underline that. In fact, that verse would be a good verse to just star, put a circle around it, or underline, if you underline in your Bibles. And I know some people are real spiritual, they don't do that. Well, just put a pencil star beside it or something. And the Bible makes it very clear that, number one, he studied God's Word. He studied God's Word. In fact, the truth of the matter is, we're all commanded to study God's Word. We're all commanded to do that. Is it not true that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You see, we're all commanded to study the Word of God. In other words, the fact is that when God gives us His Word, He wants us to study it. Now, here's what I've wondered about. There's a difference between studying it and just glancing at it. I know that some people, it's kind of funny, men are notorious for this. Men study the sports page of the newspaper. They're really good about it, because they can tell you who won, who lost, who's in the March Madness, who's in the Final Four, what the statistics are, who the people are that are playing, who are the coaches, and how long they've been there, and where they're from, and what their alma mater is, and all of that. They can go through all that. But you ask them, what's in the book of Romans chapter 3, and they'd say, I'm not sure yet. Something's missing. You see, they study the sports. You know, studying means that it's not just a glance. I mean, honestly, to be honest with you, I glance at the sports page. I glance at it. I don't study it. Sometimes I glance at the sports page and I don't even remember what I looked at. All I know is last week, Tiger Woods won his first tournament. And I don't know how many, I think it said 900 and some days they'd counted down. I think they want to make it worse. See, they could have said 2 years, but they had to say 961 days or whatever. You know, they really want to make it bad. But, I just can glance at something and it just goes right through my mind. All of us have done that, haven't we? A glance is one thing. Study is something else. Study means that we get into it. And we're all commanded to study it. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you really studied your Bible? I'm not talking about you glanced at it like during a message, or perhaps you picked it up when you were maybe, sitting there waiting for all the kids to get in the car, and maybe you just kind of just picked it up and, kind of glanced through a few verses. I'm not talking about that. When's the last time you really studied it? You see, the key to spiritual victory is studying God's Word. That's why we're all about discipleship. Here on Wednesday nights, we're trying to have the discipleship where we can really help people that come in who, need some help in growing their walk with God. We just want to help grow those people. And if you're here tonight and you want to be involved in that, let us know. We'll hook you right up. We got people who are ready to go, ready to help. They want to teach. And we've kind of written our own lessons and we have everything ready. And we run that because it's just important for us to study God's Word. We're all commanded to do that. That's what God wants of us. That's what God knows, that if our lives are going to change, if we're going to see anything, the very first thing has to start is the study of God's Word. God commands us to hide His Word in our hearts. And by the way, you can't hide it without studying. Psalm 119 says it like this: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Notice, my whole heart. He gave everything with Thy whole, my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. And why? That I might not sin against thee. Did you see that? That I might not... Why is it that God wants you and I to study the word of God? Why is it that he wants us to have it in our heart? That we might not sin against him. How does that work? Well, here's the way it works. When I study the Bible and the Bible shows me something that speaks to my heart. Maybe it's something about maybe a habit I have going on in my life, or maybe a sin problem I'm struggling with, or perhaps it could be maybe a doubt or a fear. Or maybe anger. Maybe I have anger in my life, and I'm struggling with that. Maybe I'm angry at my neighbor, or maybe someone at work or whatever. And as I read the Word of God, God gives me a verse. As I'm studying, that verse stands out. That verse just gets a hold of me. And I start thinking on that verse. And I meditate on that verse. As that verse begins to work in my life, whenever I'm tempted to be angry, guess what happens? God will bring that verse back up. And God will say, remember what I told you? Remember I told you to love those who do you wrong. Remember? And whenever you're tempted to say, you just kind of pull back. You know why? Because you study the Word of God. See, the key to spiritual victory is studying God's Word. Because as you study God's Word gets in you. That's what God is saying. He wants His Word in your life. And if God's Word is in your life and we're commanded to study it, and God's the reason why is because God says that's to prevent us from going into sin. And sometimes people say, I just always want to do right. I want to always be right. And I'm just afraid that I'm going to fall into sin. Well, look, here's the problem. The problem is we're trying to trust in ourselves. What God is saying is we need to trust in Him and His Word. And when you hide God's Word in your heart, it will keep you from sinning against God. And that's what He's saying. That's the reason why that we have the Word of God in our lives. The greater and the more we have God's Word in our life, the greater protection we'll have in our life. When we have God's Word, we make right choices in our life. But notice, not only are we commanded, not only are we all commanded to study God's Word, but then there are some who are specially called. There are those who are specially called. A few are called to study God's Word full-time. Pastors and missionaries and evangelists like Brother Hennessy here and others, the men I just spent a week with last week and others who are called, a few are called full-time at it. Now I realize, and I'm very practical, and I understand that not everybody can sit and study the Bible all day. In fact, I'll be honest with you, pastors don't do that. I honestly believe that some need to do that. And some need to do it more than they do. Sometimes I think they get three verses and a little story and they just take that to the pulpit. We need to spend time in the book. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear. In fact, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, I put it in your notes there. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Do you know that my main responsibility as a pastor, your pastor, that God's called me here, is that I give myself to prayer and the ministry of the word? That is a direct job description from God in the Bible. That's my job. That's what I'm to do because God's called me to do that. And you might say, well, I don't quite understand that. Well, not everyone is called to study like that, but God has called me to do that. We're to read it every day. We're to do what we can to study it and to memorize it. Let it become a part of our life. I mean, that's what God has called me to do. And the reason is that I might be able to help others know God's Word. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 3, and I put the verse in there, I believe, in your notes, it says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's my job. Now, I can't feed you knowledge and understanding when I don't have it. Amen? I can't feed you the Word of God when I don't have it in my own life. I have to have that. And what God is trying to get us to understand is that when we study the Word of God, this command is for everybody, but this command is also specifically for those who are called to do it. And there's preparations involved. Now, something that I have, and I'm a people person. I like people. And so my door in my office, I can hear everything going on in the office. And I don't want to hear everything going on in the office. I want to just focus on study. Amen? You know, because it can be very distracting. You guys ever noticed when you study, if you get interrupted, it takes you about 5 to 10 minutes to get back into your study again? And then you ever done this? Have you ever lost track of what you've been studying because you were interrupted? That happens to me. So I did something. I went to Best Buy and I bought these sound eliminating earplugs. And the kids, I walk around and they say, what is that? What do you got on? Well, I tell you what, I put it in there and I can't hear anything. Sometimes I hear the phone ring, but that's it. So I can plug those in and I can just focus on my studies, because here's what I believe. There's nothing the devil would love any more to wreck our church than to interrupt the study of the Word of God for the pastor of that church. God is serious about this. And by the way, not only is it going to help me, it's going to help you. Because if it's not helping me, believe me, you're not getting anything out of it either. So when I look at this, the study of God's Word, I want to be the kind of Christian that have victory in my life. And that's what he's saying here in this book. He's saying that Ezra was a man that studied God's Word. He prepared his heart. And we have to prepare our hearts. That means we make preparations. You know, it may mean get good books and study guides and you know, quiet time and alone with God and away from distractions and just focus on God's Word. And that's a starting place. And I want to tell you this, the primary commitment of Ezra was, I want to study God's Word. This means he makes whatever he needs to do to make sure that he is able to study the Word of God. But that's only a part of his commitment. Look at the second part of his commitment. I want you to notice, he not only had a commitment to study God's Word, he had a commitment to obey God's Word. How many of you realize that if you want to know God's Word, when you read it, how many of you would agree with me the best way to remember it is by obeying God's Word? How many agree with that? Amen? You know, when I was in Bible college, I struggled with English. English was just my struggling subject. You know, some people, there's really good, Brother Hennessy was mentioning languages. That wasn't necessarily mine. But English was mine. I guess it's a language, but it's a little different. I spoke West Virginia and everybody else spoke English, all right? And so I struggled with that. I really did. I struggled with English because, you know, we ain't got no nothing, you know, that kind of stuff. That's the way I grew up. And to me, that sounded normal. I remember my teacher said, all you need to do is just to speak what sounds normal. I said, we ain't got no nothing sounds normal to me. You know, we don't never mind. You never mind to me. That's the way we talk. We never thought about that. Now, in Kentucky, they were a little bit more dignified.
That's right.
They just had less teeth. No, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
We're neighbors, and it was always Kentucky, West Virginia jokes all the time. So, but you know, the truth of the matter is, the way I learned English was I studied it and I applied everything I learned when I studied it. I learned the difference between lay, when you put something down, or lay, when you go to sleep. I learned the difference of that. I struggled with that. I learned the difference about, you know, what sounded right, and I tried to apply it. So that whenever I would read the sentence that I would be tested over, I would be able to know, oh, that sounds right. I could normally go back to my West Virginia roots and say, it's the opposite of what I thought. Because it sounded right. And here's my point. The point of the matter is, if you want to get God's word in your life, live it and you'll know it. But you got to know it before you can live it. How am I doing? Are we okay? Commitment. That's what he's talking about. And Ezra said, you know, it's not just the fact that I want to know God's word. It's not enough for a person. And I wonder how many Christians know the word of God, and they know all the great doctors, and they know all this and know all that, but yet they don't live it. It's not good enough to know it. You're not a victorious Christian just because you know the Bible. You're to live the Bible. We're to obey God's word. Now, how do we do that? Well, let me give a couple thoughts. Number one, we obey by faith. You realize that we obey God in proportion to the information that God gives to me. I know that years ago, I can go back in my life and I can say, you know, I wished I would have never done that. Anyone ever had that thought? I wish I had never done that in my past. I wished I would know. Have you ever had this thought? How many of you ever had this thought? I wished I knew then what I know now. Anyone ever had something like that? Amen? I know we've all thought that. Especially when it comes to, maybe we might have went out and spent some money on junky stuff, and then the downturn in the economy, we said, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But you do realize that when it comes to obedience is always walking in line with God's will that God has given to you at that time. So we obey by faith. God doesn't open the whole window open for us. He just gives us a crack in the window. We, you know, like for me and my wife and our lives together in the ministry, our decisions have always been by faith. And I want to tell you something. Every man in the Bible and every woman in the Bible that I find and I study their lives over the years, they all walk by faith. And the ones that didn't were the ones that failed. I mean, you don't always know what's going to happen in the future, but I will tell you this. We obey God by faith. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That means that God doesn't light up the entire runway. God doesn't open up the pathway for you. And here's the reason why. Now listen to me very carefully. This is important. This is a key understanding for believers. Really important. God does not open the pathway up for you to look down and look at and see it all. And here's the reason why. It's because you will begin to evaluate, well, I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't think that's what I have in mind. There's no way that I have that in mind. I mean, can you imagine the Apostle Paul, that God just kind of opened up the whole pathway for him, and Paul said, okay, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be stoned, you're going to be shipwrecked, you know, all of that. And then, now, Paul, do you want to serve me? He didn't do that. And David, he says, David, you know, you're going to be the king of Israel, but let me tell you, you're going to spend 10 years out in the woods running away from Saul, who the king is, because he wants to kill your life. Now, is that what you're looking for? David says, no, that's not mine. That's the job I'm looking for. You see, over and over in the Bible, when you look at it, God only gives them what they need to know at the time. He doesn't open up the entire window of everything for us to look at. And I'm going to tell you this, he doesn't do that today either. The reason is that God wants us to walk by faith. We're to trust him with our future. We're to trust him with the circumstances that he brings in our life. We're to trust him with the trials that come in our life. We're to trust him through everything that comes in our life. We are just to obey by faith. And so many people refuse to let God lead them by faith. They want everything to be laid out, and then they begin to evaluate. And I'll be honest with you, some have already evaluated, well, I don't think that's what I want in my Christian life. I'm not willing to obey God that much. We walk by faith. But then we obey in truth. This says, this is complete obedience and without hesitation. He did not negotiate his obedience with God. And he said, God, now look, you know, if I go back to from Babylon, I go back down there, you know, I want to make sure I'm taken care of, God. I want to make sure everything's okay. No, God just led him and he just did what God told him to do. Can I tell you this? God's word is truth. God will never lead you to hurt you. God will always lead you to help you. God is all about yours and his relationship. And Ezra realized that. And here's what he said. God, I prepared my heart to seek you so that I can study your word, so I can obey your word, and thirdly, so I can teach others your word. I want to teach others. I want to teach others the word of God. I want to teach the word of God. Now, we'll understand that in a minute, but first group we need to teach are those who do not know Christ, the lost. I want to teach them about Jesus Christ. I think Brother Hennessy was talking about those in Korea and the groups that God has brought there to their right there to their ministry, where they can tell them from different countries of the world about Jesus Christ. He was telling me about one lady that he was talking to that she never even heard of Jesus before. She didn't know who Jesus was. She never heard that term. And I'm going to tell you, that's not just in Korea. That's right here in California. There are people that never even heard of Jesus Christ outside of a curse word. Look, we need to tell the world that Jesus is the answer. And I'm going to tell you, when you get into this book, and this book gets into you, and you start obeying this book, you're going to want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. God wants to give us, wants us to give out the truth to others, to the lost world around us. But then God also wants us to give the truth out to those who know Christ. We're to teach those who already know Christ. It may be through a discipleship or maybe through a class or perhaps maybe at your family and your home and those around you and those that maybe you brush shoulders with. We're to teach others. That's what happens. I tell you, when you get in the book and the book gets into you, you start obeying the book, here's what's going to happen. I was going to tell everybody about it. I don't know how God called me to preach. Someone has asked me many times, how did God call me to preach? And I know I've read Spurgeon's book on how, you know, the call of God. I've read that probably 8 or 10 times. I've read other men talk about how you get called. But, you know, I found that God calls people in different ways in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul was going down on the road to Damascus, and he was going to stop the church, and God called him. I mean, Peter was going fishing and God called him, said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Others God called in different ways. And all I know is this, that God put an intense desire that everything I learned about the Bible, I want to tell everybody about it. God put that there. That's instinctively built within me. That I just want to tell everybody. You know, I just remember learning that, you know, 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, and I went and told half my classmates, guess what? 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. And they're like, so? But I was so excited about that because I was confusing that with 1 Chronicles. I couldn't get it straight when I first got saved. And I remember telling him, hey, I read in Revelation that it's a blessing to read the book of Revelation. And I told people about that. You know why? Because as I got into the book got into me, and I started trying to live by the book and obeying what God says in his word, and I just can't help but want to tell everybody about it. That's how I knew God called me to preach. Now, I don't say that, remember what I said tonight? I recognize that there are a few that are called to do that full time, but we're all called to be teachers. You teach by your life. You're teaching your children by your life. You're teaching your children by how you handle the Word of God, how you respond to God's Word, and those around you. You're teaching them that. And what God is saying is that the commitment that Ezra made was that I want to study God's word. I want to obey God's word. I want to teach God's word to everybody that comes in contact with me. Well, I tell you what, when we do that, that means it's going to take preparation. It involves preparation. Where does it start? In the heart. I have prepared my heart to seek the law of the Lord. Look, tonight, I believe that you had prepared to come here. You didn't just accidentally stumble in the church. Well, I was driving up the road and just had to turn in here. No, you came here because you prepared to come. You come Sunday morning because you prepared to come. And you will find that it'll become more and more difficult unless you prepare on Saturday night. If you prepare on Saturday night to not get up on Sunday morning, believe me, you won't get up on Sunday morning. I already know that. If you don't set your alarm, I just wonder how many people are prepared. You know, it's always funny to me when we have Time Change Sunday, how many people seem to not make it to church on Time Change Sunday. Here's what I think. I think we ought to put it on Monday instead of Sunday. I wonder how many won't show up for work. I guarantee it'll be a whole lot less. And what's more important, work or being with God's people? I mean, don't get me wrong. We all need work. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. We need God more than we need work. And what God is trying to get us to understand is that it all involves a preparation of the heart. If you want the spiritual victory in your life, you want to be able to overcome sin in your life, you want to be able to be all that God would have you to be, prepare your heart. That's what it means. Make preparations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, I pray that we'll prepare. Those who do not prepare will not come to church, or will not read their Bible, or will not spend time in prayer. And quite frankly, those will